Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study of Daniel chapter 7, verses 23 through 28, titled, The Fourth Kingdom. This study closes out our study of Daniel chapter 7 and is part of our larger ongoing study of the entire book of Daniel's 12 chapters. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com or send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin our study of Daniel chapter 7, verses 23 through 28, titled The Fourth Kingdom. This is part 1 of 2.
We'll be in Daniel 7, beginning verse 23, and we'll open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. Thankful for those who hunger for the word. Thankful for those who have your Holy Spirit who helps us to learn. And we pray that each one will receive what you have for them from your word tonight. And as Sister Jenny said, it's a book with prophecy. And you have said that you demonstrate who you are by telling us the things from the beginning to the end, even before they happen. And by that 100% batting average, if you want to, we'll call it that, we know it is you, that it is the work of God. These other religions with their other books and false prophets, they can get something right every once in a while. A stopped watch is right twice a day, but they get it wrong more often than not and prove that they are not of God and that their gods are false gods and their books are false books. And we just thank you for this wonderful information you've given us in your word, that everyone will appreciate it. And we'll also learn it well enough we can talk about it when we're talking to others. And we thank you for every opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, we're going to be looking at that fourth kingdom in Daniel chapter 7. We left off, as I said, there's times where the Bible will give you what's going to happen, and it's really, really dark. It can even be said to be really, really ugly. And then he'll stop right in the middle of it and say, but remember, this is only going to happen, as it says in verse 22, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. I am very thankful for those little interjections, those words of encouragement. So verse 23 is where we'll pick up, and we come to a summary of the rise and fall of this fourth kingdom beast. So verse 23, read that with me. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. Now I take it literally that this is going to be the first time that a man and his government is going to conquer the whole earth. We've had world empires before, but they didn't really conquer the whole earth. When Nebuchadnezzar, he ruled the known world, the biblical world, but he didn't conquer the Mayans or the Aztecs, and he didn't conquer all of Africa. They were kind of, unconquerable in the sense that they were very uncivilized tribes. They were very unorganized, and although some, like the Mayans, made sizable empires when all said and done, but it was a really dark world. It was dark enough under Babylon's rule. It was really dark down in Africa and South and North America at that time. How many of you saw this year Columbus Day? Some of the cities were canceling Columbus Day and calling it Indigenous Peoples Day. And their reasoning was that, well, Columbus came and look at all the death and bloodshed it brought. Anybody who says that is just totally ignorant of history. Before Columbus ever came to America, North and South, those peoples that were living here were, some of them were deadly. Not just to their enemies, but to their own people. You watch a good special on History Channel or I don't know, NPR, any of those, and they tell you the truth about the Aztecs and the Mayans and them. They would slaughter sometimes up to 80,000 of their own people as human sacrifices. Just for one holiday. I mean, it's just amazing that it was a satanic religious control that they exerted, their version of the elites exerted over their people. So when you hear people say Happy Indigenous Peoples Day, say no thanks. Now, I have to say that now that I'm a white man, people can say, well, you're just a white guy, that's why you're saying that. But, you know, I grew up believing I was Cherokee. I grew up thinking I was Cherokee. Yeah. So I used to say, well, hey, that's some of my own people I'm talking about there. You can't get mad at me, I'm talking about some of my own people. Actually, I'm not related to any of them. So, kind of like Elizabeth Warren. She's Pocahontas, and I am Chief Wahoo Wahoo.
And of course, the point being
that this fourth beast kingdom is global. The fourth kingdom upon the earth says, shall devour the whole earth. Now, that's important. And I hope you understand when I emphasize things like that, it's important for you to get, because there are these guys out here who are teaching falsely and getting people all sucked up in this thing for the Islamic Antichrist. And in order to teach an Islamic Antichrist, they deny this clear fact about the Antichrist kingdom, and they teach that the Antichrist kingdom is actually going to be a Middle East kingdom. It'll be a Mediterranean Middle East kingdom. And they do that by trying to make the Gog-Magog war fit into the Antichrist prophecies that we studied from Revelation 6 through 19. And in Ezekiel, if you try to make the Gog-Magog war match what the Antichrist is doing, you have to make it a Middle Eastern Mediterranean thing. Because that's what that is. But the Gog-Magog war is not about the Antichrist. And that's why it's not about the whole world. It is only about, they name certain countries, Libya, Persia, I believe Tobolsk, and Moscow. You know, those are the places I believe are named there in Ezekiel. Meshach and Tugarmar is Turkey, I believe. Excuse me, if my memory serves me, which it doesn't always do. But just let those words sink in, verse 23, and shall devour the whole earth. Now, the Bible says what it says. I believe it means what it says. And when it says the whole earth, it doesn't just mean Mediterranean and Middle East. I believe it's the whole earth. So from this point, we will mainly just allow the book of Revelation to comment on our study here in Daniel 7. There's some times where a preacher really don't have to say a whole lot. He just needs to point you to where the Bible explains things. And that's an example here in verse 24. Read that with me. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. Now stop there and keep your finger there, but this passage is really parallel to Revelation 17. So keep your finger there and turn to Revelation 17. And I emphasize that in order to understand the whole Bible, you need to read the whole Bible. And there's things in Genesis that people read Revelation 12. This whole thing that happened in September with the whole planetary alignments and all that is because they're ignorant of Revelation, or Genesis, sorry. They're ignorant of Genesis, so they didn't know how to interpret Revelation 12. And there's times in Daniel where if you don't go to Revelation, and vice versa, you won't be able to connect the dots. Here in Revelation 17 it says, and there came, beginning verse 1, and there came one of the 7 angels which had the 7 vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now you remember we spent hours, I think it's 20 hours, studying Revelation 17, 18. And it says in verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And look what it says. Verse 3, read it. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and
7 horns.
How many horns?
10.
What did you just read in verse 24? 10 horns. Out of this kingdom are what?
10
kings. So you can see, and as you compare Scripture with Scripture, you see there's a talk about the same thing. They match. Verse 4, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet collar and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. All clear symbols of the Roman Catholic Church in Vatican City in Rome. Verse 5, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Verse 6, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. Remember what we studied, what was our last study? The war, the Antichrist, the war with the saints. And it says he would, look back there in chapter 7 in our previous study, said that, which verse was it we were in there? There it is, verse 21. We studied last week, verse 21. I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints. And here this 10-horn beast in Revelation 17 is drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Verse 7, and the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. Now both John and Daniel talked about how this troubled them to the very core of their being. Why is that? I believe the reason is because they're looking at a counterfeit Christianity. And it's blowing their minds that this counterfeit version of Christ is being used by the devil. And it had to make him sick. I tell you, one of the worst things, hardest things about reading church history is it makes you sick when you see the bloodshed, the murder, the rape, the absolute satanic killing of innocent people by Rome. They claim to be a Christian denomination, the bloodiest institution on planet Earth today. Their history is of blood. In verse 7, back in Revelation 17, says, and the angel said unto me, I just read that, but I'll read it. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath what? The 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, jump down to verse 9. What's those 7 heads? Verse 9, and here is the mind which hath wisdom, the seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Rome is the city on seven hills, as we study. And on you go. You see this match, and then some of the information is additional information. Verse 12 says, and the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. So it's an amazing thing to see this ten horn prophecy from Daniel expanded upon by John so clearly in Revelation 17, where he continues in verse 16, says, and the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Long story short, the Antichrist is going to use the whore, just like a prostitute, and he's going to use the whore to gain his power, but at some point, that whore will be destroyed. And then that's when we enter into the last part of the tribulation period, the last part of Daniel's 70 weeks. So stop and consider how amazing this book is. There's no possibility of collusion between Daniel and John, to use a phrase from the fake news media. No collusion. You just look at Daniel and Revelation. Daniel and John will say, they were 600 years apart. They never met. It wasn't like they could sit down and compare notes. John expands. This is important. John expands Daniel's prophecies. If all John did was repeat Daniel's prophecies, big deal, that's what Muhammad did. And he did it wrong. Muhammad would quote the Bible and he would get it wrong. You know, Muhammad had Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Moses, brother and sister. You know that? There's all kinds of stuff like that he put in there. His Gabriel, you know, was like a 700-winged angel. The Bible never says they even had wings. And Muhammad not only put wings on his angels, but he gave them 700. Where do you put all those things? The wings must have been the size of what you'd have on a fly. What?
Jet
wings.
Yeah.
But basically, the point is there's no natural explanation for all this. I'm just here to tell you, I'm a Christian today. I'm a believer today. Not because of some preacher. Not because of some church service. Not because of some church. Not because of some gospel song. Not because somebody was so wonderful that I had to just be like them. Which is the, you know, what they call that lifestyle evangelism nonsense. I think the reason why we see a lot of professing Christians go by the wayside is because they don't have a real faith. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm a Christian today because I studied the Bible as an unbeliever. I've heard some people say, well, if you're unsaved, there's no use reading the Bible, it won't do you any good. B-O-L-O-G-N-A. The Bible says that if you believe it's the Word of God, it effectually works in you. You may not be saved, but if you approach this book accepting that it is the Word of God, you'll end up saved. That's what happened to me. And I read the Quran. And I read the Bhagavad Gita. Some of that. I think you need to be on mushrooms or LSD to get anything out of that one. I'm telling you, if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's because you never read it. It's crazy. I thought, a billion people follow this stuff over in India? Wild nonsense. Pick it up sometime, try to read it. Quran. Nonsense. It's as bad as the Book of Mormon. Just, you can tell the guy's faking it. You can tell he's just trying to sound like the Bible. No prophecies. Nothing like what we're reading here in Daniel. And I got in that Bible and I got, she talked about a list. My mom and dad had an old newspaper called The Sword of the Lord. And in that newspaper was a list of prophecies. I said, nah, I bet y'all get in and read it. It'll be like Muhammad, you know, be goofy. And I got in there and it said in the Old Testament, a virgin would conceive and bear a child, and his name would be called Emmanuel, and then there it is in Matthew, fulfilled. And I don't know how many, is dozens of what they call messianic prophecies. I thought, well, I didn't know much about manuscripts and things at that time. I thought, you know, they could have cooked that up. But then I read a sermon that was preached in the 19th century saying that God said Israel would be back in the land in the end times. There weren't any Jews in Israel when he preached that. And that was before the World Congress of Zionism in the 1880s that he preached that. Huh?
That's a big one, right?
Big one. And I thought, wow, that guy had guts. Stand up here preaching about the Jews, they're scattered everywhere. The Jews weren't even trying to go back home at that point. And he said, I don't care. God's word says it's going to happen. And guess what? It happened. And he pointed out it wouldn't be voluntary. He pointed out the Bible said it's not going to be like they're all going to just say, hey, let's all just go home. I'm getting homesick. I don't know why I've never been there, but I want to go back. That's not how it happened. He pointed out that Jeremiah said he'd send hunters after the Jews and they would go back by force. Guess what happened? A hunter named Hitler rose up. And a bunch of little wannabes. And they're still out there today. You go on Gab. We have a social media site we go on. Gab. Just full of Nazis and Jew haters. Just hate the Jews. Don't want them here in America. They're still there, folks. And that's what's going to happen. When you and I, we're all raptured out of here, those Jews are going to run home. The evangelical fundamentalist Christians in this country are the reason the Jews stay in this country. And when we're gone, they're going to run home. That's the kind of thing. That's why I'm a Christian. And I'd talk to these atheist agnostics I was hanging out with. And the word agnostic really means ignoramus. And I found out they are. And a lot of them have studied and figured out ways to try to mentally get around this stuff. But they're ignorant. And they're taught lies. So back to the text, verse 25. Read that with me. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. That's 3.5 years. Ain't that amazing? He shall speak great words. And of course, we're given additional descriptions of this wicked man in Revelation 13. So keep your finger there and go to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. We'll pick up the first verse. He shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, think to change times and laws. And by the way, that doesn't have anything to do with it being summer-like weather in January. That's not what it's saying. He's going to change the times and the laws, meaning we call this AD. What are they trying to do? They've been trying since my whole lifetime to change that to from AD to... What is it? CE. The Common Era. Yeah. And laws, they're trying... What are they doing? Get rid of marriage, turn it into a sodomite joke. So the spirit of Antichrist is already laying the foundation for all this. Just this week, Australia voted in sodomite marriage. Slit their own throat. Revelation 13, beginning verse 1, says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea." We talked about that in a previous study. That's the earth, the sea of people, having seven heads and 10 horns. There we are again, just like we're reading in Daniel and like we read in chapter 17. And upon his heads, the what?
Name of blasphemy.
And the Pope's already got that. He calls himself Holy Father. That's blasphemy. He calls himself Vicar of Christ. That's Antichrist. He's claiming it. And the last Pope comes along, and he's the one. Verse 2 says, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion." And look at this. "The dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." He is the devil incarnate. We're about to celebrate Christmas, those of us who don't have a hang up on that kind of thing. We're celebrating the incarnation. God manifests in the flesh. When this happens, it's another incarnation. Devil manifests in the flesh. Verse 3, "And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death." This hasn't happened yet, but there's people who try to teach that it already has. "And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." Verse 4, "And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" I remember thinking, how is this going to happen? People don't worship the devil. And then I remembered some of the concerts, some of the music videos. And then I learned about the Bohemian Grove, Skull and Bones. Then I learned what was behind the Freemasonry, what's going on in black masses beneath Roman Catholic churches all around the world. They're already worshiping the devil. You go to places like Lady Gaga and Madonna and those things, you'll see them blatantly worshiping Lucifer. There's a whole movement of Luciferian worship saying that Elohim was the bad guy, Lucifer's the one who freed us so that we could know good and evil. See how perverted that is? Verse 5, just like we read in Daniel 7, "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. How many years is that? 3.5 years. "And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven." There's been a movement for a few years now where people blaspheme the Holy Ghost purposely. They videotape it and put it up on the internet. The spirit of Antichrist has already taken people. Verse 7, just like we read last week, study last week, "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." Verse 8, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear." So there you go, scripture with scripture. You can see what we're learning in Daniel 7 by going to Revelation and letting the Bible be your commentary. We said that before. How many of you remember saying that? The best commentary on the Bible is
the Bible.
And the popes already fulfill a good part of this. They already do. And the final pope will simply be the worst of the worst. That's what's going to happen. So back in Daniel 7, verse 26 says, "But the judgment shall sit..."